Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time for Friday Follies, right here on the Mutual Audio Network.
The following audio drama is rated R and is recommended restricted for anyone under the age of 17. You there, you're under 17, yes, yes, I can see you. Go somewhere else. We'll wait. Okay.
Leonard's Big Adventure.
Leonard's Big Adventure. When we last left Leonard and Steve, they were being menaced by some unknown creature in the thickets of a mysterious tropical island.
Steve, run! Run from the big scary building over there!
All right, I'm right in front of you. Stop stepping on my shoes and giving me flat tires.
With a slavering beast merely inches behind them, they made it into the strange, forbidden cabana with seconds to spare.
Inside, quick! Close the door!
Close one, boy.
This is no better, Leonard. We're inside the lair of some creepy, evil, genetic mad scientist, you know. This whole place smells of
death?
Well, I was going to say mildew. My allergies are going pretty nutty.
Well, be that as it may, Steve, we do have a mystery to unravel, so let's get cracking.
Oh, Leonard, I don't like this one bit. I mean, a creepy island filled with monsters, a creepy cabana, the lair of an evil genetic scientist. Yeah. This is horrible, you know. I'm scared, Leonard. And, you know, I saw a boat back there on the beach. Why don't we just take that and go on home?
Steve! Yeah, you're right. Let's do that.
You mean it?
Yeah, get why the getting's good. That's what I always say.
Well, alrighty.
And so our heroes absconded with the boat and headed home, no worse for wear.
Well, here we are back in the good old U.S. of A. Feels good to be home. Ah, well, that certainly was an adventure. What are you going to do now that we're back, Steve?
Well, Leonard, I'm going to follow my passion once and for all. This trip has inspired me, and I'm going to pursue my dream.
Oh, really?
I'm going to go out to the suburbs, and I'm going to cut lawns for upper-middle-class families. It lets me work with my favorite thing in the world, grass clippings.
Well, sounds like you have a plan, and good luck to you.
How about you, Leonard? What are you going
to
do?
Well, I thought I'd head back to my apartment, check my email, see what arrived in my Netflix queue, you know, maybe watch a few movies. And then I thought I'd head over to the studio, you know, and get back to the keyboard playing job, you know, for the Apostle Hour with Pastor Ermine. Ah, shoot.
Oops.
All right, back to the island to find Pastor Ermine.
And so our heroes jumped back in their boat and headed back to the island of danger and mystery forthwith.
Well, here we are back on the island. Now, where did we leave off?
I believe we were being pursued by a big scary monster thing.
Right. Okie dokie then.
Next time on Leonard's Big Adventure, Cabana of Evil.
Oh, look at the decor in this place.
Yeah, avocado and harvest gold.
Evil.
March 2nd, 2007, you're experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by. I'm your host, Kyan Chris Conroy, and welcome to the beginning of the third year of Technical Difficulties. And I'm your host, and this is my comedy thing. Well, I'd like to thank everybody for sending in the audio and all the thanks and all the cool emails and letters and stuff that I got that I hopefully will get to responding to this weekend, because I'm always the worst responderer to email in the entire world. But thank you so much. It's the second anniversary. It was last week, and this is the new show. This is the third year. I haven't got a new theme song yet, and so many people out there have said, don't change the theme music, and I guess I can't, or maybe I'll have to come up, unless I come up with something that totally kicks ass better than that, I'll go into that. Anyway, this is the show, and I'm starting it off, and I'll talk to you on the backside of the comedy. Bye.
Ghosts, life after death,
UFOs, psychic phenomena, the meaning of Tori Amos's lyrics, all things beyond the known. Beyond the Known, the paranormal magazine, with your host, Richard Starks. And now, Beyond the Known. Welcome to Beyond the Known. I'm your host, Richard Starks. Tonight on the program, we're going to explore the subject of life after death. Is there any proof that the soul and the consciousness exist beyond the grave? One woman says there is, so much so that she's doing something about it.
Well, our organization is set up to deal primarily with quality of life after death issues.
But first, alien abduction. One Midwestern man claims that his life was turned upside down by a close encounter of the third kind.
It's changed my life profoundly. I know I'll never truly be the same after what's happened to me, but I think all these things happen for a reason, and I hope that I can just tell my story to the world.
Lambert Busby is, to all appearances, as normal as you or I. A certified public accountant, married, a father of two, active in his church, and an amateur organ grinder at the International House of Primates. But there his life experiences and their similarities to you and I end. For he believes that he has been, for the last 5 years, the subject of intense personal scrutiny by extraterrestrials.
It all began about 5 years ago. I was going through a very difficult period in my life. I was experiencing a lot of depression. I was having very strange dreams. I couldn't account for whole sections of my life during certain evenings, and I thought I was going crazy. But slowly it began to dawn on me that perhaps there was something else going on. And after a series of experiences with a hypnotherapist, I learned that I had been abducted by aliens.
Missing time, strange dreams, a typical pattern for someone who had been abducted by aliens, or at least claimed to be. And through that, a rather extraordinary story unwound.
It turns out that the aliens are on the downside of an evolutionary bell curve, and that they needed an influx of superior genetic material. So they chose me. I have been taken on board their ship, their mother's ship, and experiments have been formed to extract my genetic information to give them an influx to their genetic code so that their civilization can once again flourish.
So you would be considered sort of their genetic ideal?
Yes, that's what they told me.
Well, that's interesting because you're kind of, short and thin and bald with a comb over and really, really thick glasses. It's interesting that they would consider that, superior genetic stock.
All the aliens do sort of have that kind of, Woody Allen thing going for them, I guess.
Extraordinary claims. But as Carl Sagan said, extraordinary claims demand extraordinary evidence. We wanted to know if he had any.
Well, beyond just sort of your claims and the hypnotherapy sessions and so on, do you have any actual physical evidence to suggest that you were abducted by aliens?
Well, I do have one piece, and this was the trigger point. When this happened, I realized after this period of depression that something was terribly wrong, something I could not explain at all. And actually, we'd never have discovered if it wasn't for my lovely wife. She was going through my computer looking for some recipe files that she wanted, that she thought maybe I had backed up, when she came across a portion of my hard drive that had over 60 gigabytes of gay pornography on it. And I have no idea how that got there because, I'm not gay or anything.
We asked his wife, Vivian, to verify his claim.
It's true. I found the pictures on his computer, and I was shocked. And so was he. He was amazed and horrified, and then suddenly he said someone or something must have put that on there. And I was, chills just ran up and down my spine, because I know he wouldn't lie about that. I married a man who's all man, and I can tell. So really the only explanation could be aliens.
In an attempt to get more verification of the facts, we decided to speak to Mr. Busby's personal hypnotherapist, Bruno Jackson.
Yeah, Lammy and I meet about 3 times a week. He comes down to the office here, and I put him under, and we have a session, and we discuss his experiences with the aliens for the past week.
So when you say the office, you mean here? I mean, this would be your therapy office.
Yeah, that's right. This is the office.
Which is the back office of a leather bar that you manage?
Yeah, that's, that's my day job. The hypnotherapy thing hasn't taken off just yet.
But speaking of taking off, Lambert Busby's career certainly has. As a star on the UFO lecture circuit.
Yeah, I travel extensively on the lecture circuit, talking to other people about my experiences as being an abductee. And I also offer, everywhere I go, a support group, a support one-on-one, actually,
although I can do group work, mostly with men that I hold in my motel room.
Mr. Busby, there is a large contingent of people out there who would be somewhat skeptical of your story. I mean, they would say that you're just being exploitative of people who have a rather absurd belief in the UFOs and aliens, that you're sadly deluded yourself, that perhaps, oh, I don't know, maybe you're some kind of pathetic, bone-crushingly obvious closet case who's come up with a cock and bull story about being abducted to cover up for their sexual proclivities.
Well, I'm sure there's always those cranks who are out there who are going to think the worst of anything, but I have something that they really can't deny. I have something that the rest of the kooks out there don't. I have photographic evidence.
Yeah, about 30 gig worth.
Yes. No, not those photos. This one.
Mr. Busby presented me with an absolutely fascinating photograph, one he claims was taken outside his bedroom window on the night of one of his so-called abductions. It shows a clear sky with a very large, dark, blurry shape hovering just outside the window. We decided to take it to an image enhancement specialist and have them go to work on it.
Mr. Busby's photograph here, this is fairly typical of a lot of the photographs I do get.
Joel Kelleher is an independent image enhancement specialist.
Typical of some of the stuff I have seen. Okay. As you can see here from the photographic evidence, it's got some standard features.
Okay.
A lack of discernible detail, usually taken by someone who's an amateur not familiar with the equipment. Another thing here that often happens is people do find themselves confronted with the paranormal and try to take a snapshot of it. They're just overwhelmed with the shock and resulting in unsteady hand shaking movements that make the picture blurry. This particular picture looks as though it was taken by someone who was basking in the languor of a homosexual encounter.
Wouldn't know. So what did you do to this picture exactly to bring out some of the details?
Well, basically the usual bag of enhancement tricks. First I changed the gamma curve here. I boosted the alpha levels like that. So you brought up the contrast and brought down the brightness, as you can see here. That gives it sort of the very typical UFO saucer shape, as you can see right there.
Yeah.
And then ran a couple of unsharp mask filters over it to really sort of bring out a few details. Those are possibly windows or portals of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition to that, I surrounded the entire thing with sort of this tasteful faded vignette, kind of give it a Victorian feel. Lowered the saturation a little bit, boosted the red, and gave it a little sepia tone look, and then added a few colorful details here to give it kind of that hand-colored turn-of-the-century kind of thing going there. And let's see, then I got a lovely little handwritten font on the front in script. It says, "I think you're out of this world." And I made prints and greeting cards of it, and I had it put up on my cafe press site.
And is it selling well for you?
Of course not. It's on a cafe press site. I mean, who in the hell spends $15 on a greeting card?
Still, there are those who are, to say the least, skeptical of Mr. Busby's claims.
Oh, fiddle faddle! Alien abduction, my hinder! These people are nuts!
Dr. Attalus Killjoy of the American Society of Skeptics, or ASS.
There's no such things as aliens, or ghosts, or the devil, or angels, or God, or any of that stuff, and the people who do believe in it are morons! They're just a bunch of ignorant, superstitious idiots, and the people who write these books exploit these poor, pathetic morons and fools, and they're only in it to make a few bucks.
And how do they do that exactly?
Well, I can tell you all about it in my brand new book called I Don't Friggin' Think So. It tells you all about how these supernatural flim-flam charlatan artists get away with what they're doing and how they profit off of it. And you can get it, too, by going to my website. It's only $29.95.
Cafe Press book, is it?
Ah, shut your pie hole.
Still, atheists are not alone in their criticism of the alien abduction phenomena. Pastor Tom Brickle is the head of the Association of Fundamentalist Lutherans, and he believes inherently that the alien abduction phenomena comes from a different source.
We believe inherently that the alien abduction phenomena comes from
Get on with it.
Excuse me. UFOs, angels, ghosts, psychic powers, any sort of manifestation of the so-called paranormal all comes from one source. The red-hot, stinking caldera of the Archfiend.
So they come from Satan.
Isn't that what I just said?
Frankly, I'm not sure.
These things either come from God or the devil. And how can there be light where there is darkness? I mean, he is not responsible for these illegitimate signs and wonders such as the paranormal. just as God is not responsible for evil such as the hip-hop music and the Pokemon cards.
Now, you say you're a fundamentalist Lutheran. What does that mean exactly?
We believe in the fundamental teachings and beliefs of Martin Luther. And that follows basically three precepts. One, that there is no intercessor between God and man, save his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That there is salvation through grace alone and not through works, lest any man boast. And lastly, that all the Jews should be drowned in rivers.
A strong hint of anti-Semitism there, but surprisingly not the only one in circles of those critical of UFO studies. Iranian scholar Dr. Ahmed Zarsi continues.
We have evidence that shows that the UFO phenomena is in fact caused by the Jews.
Do tell.
They use the trickery they have learned from their Jewish masters in Hollywood, such as people like Steven Spielberg and George Lucas.
George Lucas is a Buddhist.
No, it's true. They have used this type of propaganda, this Jewish propaganda, throughout their history. There was a very famous cartoon produced by the Jewish Walt Disney who had called Tom and Jerry, in which a cat chases a mouse. And in the Middle Ages, Jews were referred to as filthy mice, and this cartoon was clearly intended as pro-Jewish propaganda to change the perception of mice.
That's really an unbelievably idiotic stretch.
No, it's true. And they were also responsible for the Jewish cartoon propaganda known as Bugs Bunny to change the perception of Jews who in the Middle Ages were often known as wascally wabbits.
Oh, now you're just making it up and not even trying.
No, it's true. And then the Jewish Nintendo Corporation and their character Mario was clearly a Zionist conspiracy trying to
Nintendo is a Japanese corporation, you moron.
No, it's true.
I don't know where this man is getting his information from, but it's clearly pure nonsense. I mean, anyone who's ever played Super Mario Brothers knows that it's actually a papist conspiracy of the highest order.
Oh, for the love of God.
No, really, I have it on good authority that in the original game, those coins were supposed to be communion wafers.
See, this is the kind of blasphemy that's, like, totally not going to be allowed anymore when we totally take over.
Pastor Jerome from the First Church of Nintendo.
Our church is totally non-denominational, but we do believe inherently in one God, and his name is Shigeru Miyamoto, and we worship at the feet of the Trinity, Zelda, Mario, and Metroid. Dude, it's the best church ever. We have, like, regular Sunday services of Super Smash Brothers because it's, like, awesome. And you have to see some of this stuff, man. The graphics are, we got this big Trinitron
Drome.
TV with the big
Drome.
Giant, you know, kind of
Drome.
Like the
Drome. Dude, who are you talking to?
The guy on the TV with the UFO show, he was, like, totally interviewing me about my religion.
We're still in the dorm room.
Oh, I totally confused television with reality again, didn't I?
Yes, you did, and you have no idea how jealous I am that you're capable of doing that on a regular basis.
Yeah, well, you know, some of us have got it, and some of us, you know, they,
don't.
Whoa, doorbell. Doorbell. Dude, doorbell. Dude, this is fun, you should try it.
Okay.
Doorbell. 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 Doorbell.
Yeah, you're right. This is a lot more fun than I thought it would be.
Yeah, totally, isn't it?
Didn't you people hear me ringing that doorbell?
Yeah, we totally did. Thanks, man. It ruled.
Look, you have to get out of here. They're evacuating the entire city. Hurry, for God's sake, before it's too late.
Whoa, sounds heavy.
What's going on out there, Jerome?
I don't know. Sky's all black and red. People are running everywhere. Smoke. Looks like some kind of apocalyptic scenario.
Whoa. Maybe we should, like, leave or something.
Dude, all my stuff is here.
Oh, yeah. Mine, too. It closes the door. It's really noisy.
Okay. So, what do you want to do tonight?
Didn't you say our Netflix thing came?
Oh, yeah. We got Xanadu and Can't Stop the Music.
Sweet. I'll make the popcorn. An extract there from the American play Dorm, which is being hailed as an existentialist masterpiece. The plot concerns the trials and tribulations of an evening in the life of two American college students who shut themselves into their dormitory room as the entire world falls apart due to some unforeseen and unknown catastrophe. With me in the studio today is the play's author and co-star, Jerome T. Sykes.
Dude.
Welcome. Mr. Sykes, this play is being hailed as a symbolist masterpiece about the modern and especially the American mindset, the ability to simply ignore the world crumbling while simply seeking frivolous entertainment. What prompted you to write this particular play?
Well, I was taking this playwriting class, and I had to, like, write, like, a play, and I was late, so I, like, wrote this one night.
So necessity being the mother of invention in this particular case.
Yeah, I was, like, totally listening to Zappa when I wrote it.
Yes. Well, were you surprised at the overwhelmingly positive response to the play?
Well, I just handed the play in because I didn't want to, like, not get a credit on the course. And then, like, you know, the next thing I know, it had been entered into the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. So I was like, whoa.
I'll take that as a yes. So, in any event, jolly good on your first play.
Well, actually, this is my second play.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, my first play was about this dude who likes to, like, hang out on an ostrich farm, and, like, he sleeps, like, in the stables with the ostriches, and he likes to, like, blind them with a metal spike, you know, when he's naked and stuff. And then I realized they'd inadvertently stolen the plot of Equus, only with ostriches.
I see. Well, so any other projects you're working on at the moment?
Oh, yeah, totally. I just finished my first novel.
Really?
And it's going to be published next month. It's called The Walls of Air Made Visible.
Oh, well, it sounds exciting. Perhaps you could give us a taste of that.
Oh, yeah, okay, so I'm the protagonist, see, and, like, I'm at home and I'm playing Gears of War on the Xbox 360, you know, I'm, like, doing really well, I'm, like, kicking ass in that, and, like, suddenly the walls start to shimmer and they melt, and these glowing figures come in and they start to warn me that I'm integral to something really terrible that's gonna happen, but I'm not sure what, you know, but, like, I'm like the chosen one, you know, and then suddenly the door bursts open and these guys in these, like, black suits come in, and they're all, like, weird and stuff, they have these, like, funky, like markings on their head, and they try to grab me, and I fight them off, and I go, like, all medieval on their ass and stuff, you know, and, like, and so I bust out, and, like, running down the street, you know, and stuff, and there's all these weird cars, and then it's like a Fellini film where they got these, like, really, really freaky people and clowns and stuff, and they're, like, chasing after me, and, you know, and they're, everybody's out to, like, try and get me because they say something about, like, I'm the chosen one and I must be destroyed, and then, like, this light shines down, and like God's voice comes up, and he says some, like, really deep stuff.
Yeah,
and I'm like, whoa,
Mr.
and he's like, you know,
Mr. Sykes, totally. Mr. Sykes, that's all very interesting, but I was actually sort of hoping that you would, you know, I don't know, read an excerpt from the novel to the audience.
I was reading from it.
Oh, I see. Well, jolly good. We'll be right back after this.
Well, and that brings us to the end of another program here of Technical Difficulties, or Tech Diff, at techdiff.com. I've been your host, Kyan Chris Conroy, the writer, producer, and voice guy of what you just heard. Thanks so much, and I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to send me a Gmail, please feel free to do so. It's techdiff, T-E-K-D-I-F-F, at gmail.com. I want to thank once again everybody who sent in the nice letters and the nice congrats things and all the other stuff for the second anniversary show, as I said earlier. I don't know if you can hear that. My neighbor just went by with his snowblower. We've had a lot of snow here in Minneapolis, and my neighbor has this amazing habit of firing up his snowblower in incredibly inopportune moments. We also got a fair amount of snow last week, and he decided it would have been great if he blew the snow off the off of his sidewalk at 7:30 in the morning on a Saturday. So you can imagine how much fun that was. As I said before, I'm going to try and do my correspondence this weekend, so if you sent off an email and I didn't respond, don't take that personally. I'm just really bad at this, and I'm not a very organized individual. Other things, speaking of unorganized individuals, I got some audio from Andy over at AndyCast. He sent me a congratulatory thing yesterday. So, at least I know there's someone else who's behind the times on that. Nothing, yeah, I mean, it's not mad or anything. I'm just, what are you going to do? It looks like he stopped snow blowing. All right, well, anyway, if you want to send me a Gmail, I said techdiff@gmail.com. You can head over to techdiff.com to leave a comment on the message board there. You can also contact me at techdiff@tcinternet.net, which is also where you can donate to the computer fund of the PayPal account. This month, I'm going to try and get, let's have a deadline for not this week, but next week's show. If you have any ideas for sketches you want to send me, that would be a good time to send it. And I'm going to try and put an extra show together, or at least have one quickly to go when I get back from Tokyo, or so that I can post during Tokyo. This whole thing's up in the air, not the trip, but what I'm going to do during the trip. So you may or may not get a show that week, but I'm going to try. So please, if you got any ideas to send me, and I'm going to put some stuff together for that show, and I want to have a show in the can that I can post while I'm on the road. And I'll bring back, of course, some spiffy audio from Tokyo, for all you know. I mean, I could just be in my room making it up as I go along. And like that. Well, I got nothing else to add, I'm afraid. All right, anyway, here's Andy at AndyCast, and congratulations, and you can listen to that. And you can hear from me again next week. Bye. Before I go, I totally forgot. Steve Garriott, God bless Steve Garriott for making the character, the master character page that he puts together for me.
Crazy man. If you go over to the show notes page, there will be an HTML link that you can follow, and you can see the cross-index of all the characters I've ever done on the show. And I use this, actually, I should use this more often than I do, because even I can't keep my damn characters straight. So, anyway, here's a little message from Andy, and I'll see you guys next week.
Hello, Cayenne. Andy Billet from the AndyCast podcast here, www.andycast.net. Congratulations on your second year of the hilarity that we all know and love as Technical Difficulties. Yours was one of the first podcasts that I ever subscribed to, and you and the Tech Div show were very influential in me starting my own podcast. I figured, you know, I couldn't do any worse. And you will always go down in the annals of AndyCast history as being the first ever uninformed biography subject. So you have that to put on your resume also. And congratulations on your 102nd episode, which you'll probably be airing soon. Let's hope it's soon. You know, everyone was saying happy 100, happy 101. Let's make episode 102 our 100. Thank you so much for all your hard work and dedication, the tenacity, the self-sacrifice to keep Tech Div coming week in and week out. Wait, did I say self-sacrifice? I meant goat sacrifice. Thanks again, Cayenne, and keep up the great work.
Well, I couldn't very well just sign off like that now, could I? Not say thank you, Andy. Thank you so much, and thank you all again for listening, and, well, that's that then for the week. I'm going to get out of your ears, and see you next Friday. Bye!
Thank you for listening to Friday Follies right here on the Mutual Audio Network. Please consider subscribing to other days of the Mutual feeds, including Monday Matinee for classic, live, and theatrical audio plays. Tuesday Terrors for horror audio drama. Wednesday Wonders, our science fiction and fantasy magazine. Thursday Thrillers for action, adventure, mystery, and crime drama. Saturday Story Circle for kids and families alike. And Sunday Showcase, bringing you the very newest in audio releases for the week from our United Artists of Audio, right here on the Mutual Audio Network.
The Mutual Audio Drama Network, where we listen and imagine together.